Of course, you're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's a Friday afternoon. I'm U of I Extension's Tom Gleason. On the phone line with us should be Mike Zuzlow at Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting. Mike, are you with us this
evening? I am with you, Todd.
Well, I was a little worried that I hit a button that wasn't quite right. So let's start with some numbers. And we're not going to take up, to begin with, the numbers that are due out on Monday, but a set that came out just a few minutes ago from USDA in Washington, D.C., the hogs and pigs were numbers. What did they show to you?
Well, if taken at face value, they were bearish enough, I think, Todd, that June low in the futures from Wednesday of about 123 even is probably in play. About every major category was bearish. All hogs and pigs came in at the top of the range of estimates at 97%. Breeding came in at 100%, top of range of estimates. And for markets, we saw 96% for marketings. Top of the range was 96.9. And I think probably most disturbing, most concerning to the trade as we come back Monday is the fact that the weight group breakdown by USDA and those numbers show very little signs of PED virus because they all came in, whether you're looking at under 50 pounds, 50 to 119, or 180 pounds and over, they all came in within the average trade guess. So no real signs whatsoever of PED virus, and I think this is going to be quite a disappointment to the trade since this was as of March 1.
Yeah, the trade will be disappointed, and I'm wondering what it might mean to the marketplace when we open up again, whether they will push the price of hogs sharply lower or not.
If they take it at face value, I think that's what I'm most afraid of. This week when we went lower was a technical move lower where we filled a gap in the weekly chart, and June, I would expect futures to be the one hit the hardest, and that, like I said earlier, that Wednesday low of around 123 even, I think that's in play, and if we take that out on a closing basis, I would not be surprised for another $10 to $15 swing objective lower so that we're trading back into the low single digits like 107, 105 at the end of the week this week. Again, if these numbers are taken at face value, this report reminds me a lot of some corn reports 6-8 months ago when the trade was thinking one thing and USDA came out in the exact opposite direction.
You mentioned the June contract. It settled, of course, at 129.57.5, and you talked about the weekly. It was down just 75 cents. The April did not have near the volume in it, but it posted a double top. So
yes.
It was kind of an interesting week to week, one week and the next. So it's kind of interesting to look, and it'll be fun to watch. Will it be good for the commodity markets for corn and soybean meal on Monday?
It opens the upside up for meal. I think that's the bottom line. I mean, this is where the 475 resistance in May meal and the 1460 resistance in the lead month beans really have to be looked at if the reports on Monday are not outright bearish. And I think this is where, when you look at lead month beans, after 1460 to the upside, you don't have much standing in your way, and there's actually a weekly gap from July of last year sitting around 1534.5, and so this adds a bit of friendly tone to the report where the market now can be saying to itself, instead of saying we need to feed the bull on the bean report and the stocks report on Monday, we kind of need to feed the bear because these numbers are that far, I think, out of whack from what the trade was expecting. Bigger feed utilization is really what it means.
Yeah, if we feed the bear, I suppose that would be the number of acres that would come in for prospective plantings for soybeans. Will it be as big as many think it's going to be?
Well, this is where the breakdown is very diverse. And, you know, you can talk about corn and bean acres total. It seems as though, Todd, there's a group of us that are around 172 to 173 million acres total, putting a little bit more into wheat. And there's another group that's out there at 174 plus to all the way up to almost 176 million total acres. If I broke it down between the two, I would say that with the average corn guess right around 92.7, if you go above 93.5, that would be very bearish. If you go below 92, that would be, and especially 91, 91.5, that would be very bullish. And there are some numbers down there around 90.5. And so that's how I see the corn. The beans, right around 81 million is the average. I think very bearish would get you 82, 82.5 million. Very bullish would get you 80 or below, you know, 79.5 million acres. Only 5 of 27 analysts came out with that number or lower, 79.5 or lower.
And so we are at that transition time in the marketing year where we move from old crop to new crop, or relatively speaking, depending on what the weather looks like. And the prospective plantings report would be the first of the new crop shots across the bow.
Right.
The old crop is still there, and we have to deal with the grain stocks on Monday as well.
I think especially for the beans. I mean, if we look at the beans over the last 3 months, what has helped keep the November beans up? I mean, we're talking about, you know, producers looking at anywhere from 78.5 million bean acres all the way up to 83.6 million acres. We, in my opinion, certainly have not traded anything close to 83.6 million. Why is that? Because of the old crop and because of the tight supply and the fact that there's about 80 million bushels of exports out there unaccounted for at this point, and we need to keep prices high enough to encourage imports to loosen up this increased meal demand if this hogs and pigs report is correct. So a lot is riding, I think there's a lot more riding in the bean market than the corn market when it comes to the grain stocks report, because the expectations are for a very friendly report in grain stocks. And if it doesn't come out very, very friendly and it's actually bearish and there's a lot of big acres for beans, and along with that, the USDA doesn't fess up to strong, strong demand, then the market's going to say, wow, do we really need to be at this level in new crop futures?
Right. So let's talk about that just a little bit. So what would be a number that would be, I guess, bearish for the beans? Would something that came in, would 145, which currently is, 145 for the grain stocks carryout for soybeans, would that be bearish?
Yeah, I mean, you look at the poll on the grain stocks itself, and you've got a low trade number of 955 million bushels and an average of right around 990 million. My take would be you go below 970, and you're starting to open up the upside. In other words, that would get you, especially if you got closer to that 955 low trade guess, that would get you talking in the trade, I think, about a 120, 125 carryover when it's all said and done. That opens you up to that gap of another roughly dollar higher. That's kind of how I see it on that elasticity model and the grain stocks and how that would play out.
Yeah, let me be clear about where we were going with the numbers, because I think I gave a grain stock. I gave the ending stocks number,
yeah, sure,
for the grain stocks number.
Sure.
And the ending stocks, which is what you got to, which was 120. Right now it's 145 for soybeans. And then the quarterly grain stocks, there's kind of a range of what, 924 to 1.08 or something.
Yeah,
like
955
that
to 1.08, exactly. So it's a pretty wide, you know, pretty wide range. The closer you get to that 955, the more you assume, I think, in the trade that we are indeed closer to a 125 carryover. And therefore, and here's the interesting piece of the puzzle that we haven't talked about. China essentially acknowledged that they're going to do most of their cancellations from Brazil. So the pressure's off of us from a standpoint of cancellations if you take them at face value. What we're really now talking about is, can we get the imports up here from Brazil? That's what the market function is. And if they see a 125 carryover implied by these bean stocks numbers on Monday, they probably will try and shoot us up another 80 cents to fill that gap, and that encourages those imports even more.
Hey, finally, since you mentioned China, did you see the Wall Street Journal article this week about Chinese pork populations?
I did. Yeah, I did. In fact, I talked about it on one of the daily videos midweek. Yes, I sure did.
Yeah, so they have a very large inventory of pork on hand, apparently, which I suppose would be one of the reasons they might continue to import bean meal. But they've had a much tougher time. While we've been going really high with our pork prices, theirs have been tumbling since December.
In fact, just this afternoon, right after the close in the hogs, China did release on the Xinhua, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, on the news agency, talking about the state reserves are now going to start to be built up, and the Chinese state is going to actually start purchasing frozen pork for the reserves because of the drop in those live prices. Live prices down January through February 14%, pork prices down 10%. With the Lunar New Year, you should have seen them go up. So it's kind of extra bearish, extra negative when you see the prices fall when your demand should be about the best of the year.
Hey, thanks so much.
Thank you, Todd.
Mm-hmm. That is Mike Zuzulo. He's with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting. Joins us on this Friday afternoon.